Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Traders Wrap-Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about the penultimate week of Traders AU Season 2. Episodes 7 and 8 are down, done, dusted. We believe there's one more episode next week in the form of the finale. We are on the road there, but we have quite a bit to talk about. I am, of course, your host, Piyuz Enbekili, ready back in Traders Tower to break things down. And with me, my fellow trader that I definitely do trust and do not think is a snitch, it is Peridium. Peridium, how are you doing?
Oh boy, this season's just zipped right by us, Puya. I'm doing pretty good. It's weird to think it's almost over, given last season was, I think, 12 episodes, and now we're looking at one left. I don't even think there's possibly a 10th. We have a final five on our hands that we're entering with. And
yeah, which would be very easily one banishment and then the finale, or like the final roundtable thing. Fire pit. What do we have an official term for that?
Well, they didn't even do a fire pit, I don't think, in season one of Australia, right? They had a vote, a forced vote at the final four. Like, they didn't give them the option. I don't know if there's a term, though. I guess it's...
I don't know. The fire pit? Because I feel like that. I like that. I like the premise of it being a fire pit outside. And I know AU didn't do it, but they should. They should. Mm. But yeah, I think I'm with you. I feel like it's probably one episode.
I think so. And I kind of heard about this earlier, like weeks ago, but I was like, really? And I'm like, well, they did start with four less people, and the way the season's going, they haven't really like delayed any murders. There's no been failed murders, really. Well, unless you're a traitor murdering yourself, I guess that's possible. But ultimately, yeah, I'm like, I think this is looking to be a shorter season. They didn't do the trial. The trial didn't happen. There was nobody on trial this season. So it's a little different in that regard. I don't actually dislike it fully. I don't think it needs to be any certain amount of episodes per se, but it is strange. It's shorter. I think this is the shortest one I've seen, I think, of all the trader seasons.
I believe so, because I think, if I remember correctly, UK was definitely longer than 10 episodes, and US was, I want to say, 12? So
yeah,
this would be, if this would be, first of all, the only show that's been single episodes for a season at 9. And then if it's 10, it would be tied with New Zealand, which we just saw. But this would answer the age old question that I think a lot of people had, which is, what happens if they don't have, because like, they can't have a preset number of episodes, then it'll depend on what the season looks like.
Which I'm actually not fully against. It's just a little strange from, like, how are they putting this season together? Don't they need a mandated certain amount of episodes? I guess I would assume they would want the same amount as the first season, or is this a different... I know, like, Australian Survivor tries to have they try to hit a certain quota, and that causes them to have a lot of non-elimination episodes, for better or worse, usually for worse. So I was like, interesting that they're only doing 9. That seems really short. And they didn't do any like on trial or like the traders can't murder at all. But then I'm also like, they are steamrolling this season so far. And well, I shouldn't say so far. It's the end of the road. They've steamrolled this season. I don't know. I don't really know what I know that I've in the history of me playing Mafia, the games don't have a predetermined. The game could end if the three traders or however many Mafia players there are get taken out back to back to back. Doesn't make for the most, it's just like goose. Like, you don't know. You might get a round that lasts 30 minutes where we're just stuck in ghost chat, just having nothing to talk about, or it could be a game that ends in like 2 minutes.
Seconds. Yeah. And you gotta like you just get seconds. Back to the lobby. I looked at the other iterations, Peridium, and US was also 10 episodes, but the reunion made it 11 episodes total.
Okay.
Other than the, yeah, so 10 is the least we've had until this, which I looked at the wiki. The wiki seems to be indicating that it'll be 9 episodes with one episode on the 10th of September, and that's it.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think the biggest thing that we can look back and point at is that they added a third trader by way of recruitment, with Camille coming in at the final 8 to become the third trader. And I think they did so with the assumption that definitely one of these traders will get ousted, and then we have a little bit more time to do something with this. But we are at the final 5. Let's jump right ahead. We're at the final 5 going into the finale, where the traders outnumber the faithful 3-2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Godspeed you, Liam and Sarah. You guys have played an atrocious game. And I would just say, if you guys, if the faithfuls, which to be fair, they could still win, if they can find a way to somehow get the traders to throw each other under the bus, I don't even think Liam and Sarah would win the game, even if they're in the final 3 together. Because they would end it thinking the third person is a faithful, believing there's only 2, because heaven forbid, actually, no, Sarah did mention the recruitment, but heaven forbid recruitment is a possible option in this show. I guess that goes to what Annabelle was saying. None of these people have watched the traders. They don't know what's happening. They're just making up rules left and right. And unfortunately, it's going to cost them $250,000.
Yeah, I do not have any hope for these faithfuls. I really think it's going to be a traitor's game to lose. Uh-huh, it's just a matter of which traitor is going to come on top.
I think that's the biggest question going into the finale. Which traitor is going to win? Will multiple traitors win? Will all 3 traitors win? I don't know.
I think this is what's going to happen. I think they're going to let Sam get fed to the wolves. And then I see a world where Blake and Camille want to work together, or will, but then they'll vote out Blake, because if, hey, there were 2 names put out there, Sam got confirmed, Blake's the other one, let's get him done. Then they get out Blake at the final 4, and they're like, all right, the rest of us are all faithful, and then they lose to Camille. I think Camille's going to win this season.
You know, initially I wasn't sure about that with the way that Sam's been playing, and honestly, really the way the faithfuls have been playing. But this going, the ending of episode 8 going into this finale does feel like this is going to be what feels like was kind of preordained from the beginning of the season, where how is this guy possibly the winner? How is Sam possibly the winner with the way that he is such a cocky, arrogant little shit to steal from, Ash? It's like, This guy is not as smart as he thinks he is. It's more just the traders are dumber than we realize they really are. And they realize that they haven't realized that they're actually this bad. I think Liam is thrown in the towel at this point. And I'm starting to wonder, maybe this is I'm a little lukewarm on Camille winning, but I also am at this present time. Like, I thought Sam can't lose. Like, every episode's been, Sam's not going to lose. Sam's got this. Oh no, Sam might be in trouble. Oh no, Sam, he's not in trouble. Let's be honest. And it's been like that for 8 episodes. Even in episode 7 and 8, we had that storyline. And I'm like, they keep pulling it and they can't keep getting away with it. And I'm like, I actually do think Camille is going to win this, even though I've been thinking Sam has been going to win every battle all season. I think he will lose the war against Camille in the finale. I don't know if Blake's going to be there, though. I don't know if Blake is going to win with Camille. I could see it, but I feel like Camille is going to win this season.
Yeah, that's really where I'm headed. But also, I've been on the opposite side of that, Peridium, where I've been wrong about every single Sam matchup this season. I have thought, his time is coming. Oh, it's not coming. All right, it's next one. His time is coming. Oh, it's not coming. All right, next round. These 2 episodes, I genuinely thought there is no way he's surviving 1 episode, let alone both episodes. Let alone we'll see him in the finale. I thought Sam's game was going to be done. It makes no sense. And I know that we were discussing, I said last week, I think he's easily the best villain trader we've had. I think I'm ready to say he's one of the best traders we have had. I think obviously you have to specifically look at the cast that he's surrounded by. But if your name has been in the firing line like that from basically what, the third banishment, and you're still at the final five, hats off to you. You're doing something right, clearly.
Yeah, I obviously I'm such a big Survivor head and you're a big fan of Survivor. So if you're not a fan of Survivor, my analogy might fall flat here. I do wonder if it's the difference between, say, Boston Rob running the game and just looking like an absolute machine.
Like a whole god.
Yeah. Or is it like somebody who is playing against a more competent cast, but is so much better than everybody that they're just like, I guess I don't even know if Kim Spradlin's the best example, but she also has a similar a game that she played on Survivor, and she's often considered one of, if not the best winner in the history of the show. But then of course people would say her season is also bad. Is this a case where Sam is so good that the rest of his cast looks really meek and just can't get a thing to go, can't get a plan to go together ever at all through eight episodes? Or is it they're that bad that Sam can be as sloppy as he wants, as bold as he wants, as, you know, this wouldn't work on any other season, but it's working this time? We'll never really know what that timeline looks like, where Sam somehow is on another season, season one, maybe, or if there's a season three and, you know, he's there, he does much worse. I don't know. We'll never know. Those are the questions you ask yourself when you try to analyze these players. I do think that this cast on AU, the faithful, are incompetent. They are incredibly bad. I think they're the worst group of faithfuls I've seen. And I feel bad because there are some who are actually quite good, like Annabelle, Luke. I exclude you, but
like, yeah, you have like some standouts that I will vocally say again, Annabelle is probably the best faithful that's ever played this game.
Yeah. And I do think Luke had something good going, but their hand got forced. And I'm starting to wonder now, I started thinking this too, as I was watching episode 7 and 8, last podcast, I did question if their move to go and pounce on the traitors was too soon. But now that I'm looking at the field and I'm seeing what I thought, like maybe there's,
it would have never been too soon.
It never would have been too soon with this cast. It honestly was, they were screwed, I think, from the onset with the way that the traitors, the game works. And I think if they were given a better cast of faithful that actually did the homework a little bit, I think they actually could have been the winners or gone much deeper than they did. Because what we have seen literally every episode since Annabelle called everything out, laid everything on the table, is one after the other, one domino, Simone stands up and goes, wait a minute, she gets knocked out. And then we have Keith going, wait a minute, Hannah, wait a minute, Gloria, wait a minute. And it's like, why couldn't you have all had that exact realization? I thought for a second, maybe there's a strategy behind this. Maybe they're playing the game really hard and then we're just going to get a surprise gotcha. But no, that's, and they're literally, there's only two faithful left. And I do not think that that's happening with Liam or Sarah. So I feel bad for, we'll go back to that. I feel bad for Annabelle and Luke. I do think that this is a very, very weak group of faithful who did not do their homework, do not understand the game, clearly don't have much experience playing these social strategy games at all, or even maybe any games that much. And they're playing with a Sam type villain who wants to be big and bold and make an early move that cements him. And I don't know if this would work in a lot of traitors seasons, but with this group, it was just the right mix. And I mean, like, what would Sam have looked like if he was a faithful? Would he have been really good? You know, what if it was flipped and like Liam and Sarah were traitors? I think this is like a ridiculously different season. So,
I don't know. I think every traitor season or every reality TV show that's competitive by nature, it will always come down to who are you cast with and what are your strengths versus the cast you're in. Because you can be put on 50 different seasons with 50 different casts and perform vastly different in at like half of them easily.
Right.
I think Sam benefited from being put in this cast where he could very much exercise this route of, if you cross me, I'm going to come after you and no one is going to be the wiser that I did so. Every single time someone has brought his name up at the round table, he has been able to be like, now I think it's you actually, because you're saying my name, and no one's questioned that. And he's been able to get them out. I think the minute Annabelle and Luke lost the war, I'm not even going to call that the battle. The minute they lost the war, it was curtains for the faithful, because the rest of the faithful remaining were kind of the more quiet ones to a degree. And the minute someone spoke up, it was like, huh, you're suddenly talking and you didn't talk before. That is sketchy. You have to go now. And then obviously they're not it. Gloria had a moment of awakening and they still voted her out. And I really thought that it should be obvious that it is clear her name's not like y'all. Her name wasn't coming up. And she's putting this information out. She has no reason to be vocal unless she's been actively playing and being vocal and being sussed publicly. She's been relatively quiet this far. That is clearly a sign. But again, Sam really did a good job of picking the right people to have along. Sam and Blake each had a plus one that was very clearly tied to them and fully thought they were faithful. Blake had Keith, and Sam, up until this point, had Liam. So much so that they could say what and do whatever they wanted, and no one was batting an eye at them at all.
So this sounds to me like Annabelle is the David Murphy of Traitors Redemption Island.
Put some more respect on her name, Peridium.
Well, oh, she's the Troyzan of Traitors One World.
Oh, that's an improvement.
It's this is... okay, these are not the best seasons of Survivor to be comparing this Traitor season to, but... it has been such a repetitive storyline in a way where, like, every single episode, a new faithful has the light bulb go off and then they just get shot down and they get voted. I was like, in my notes from last podcast, I was like, okay, so they're going to banish Keith. They're going to murder Keith. They're going to murder Gloria. No, they actually banished Keith and banished. I'm like, oh my gosh, of course. Even the even dumber move, the faithful are going to do the dirty work for what I was expecting to be the best path forward for the traitors. Oh, the traitors just got them to do that already. So they can murder Hannah, who I guess is suddenly a super genius in episode 7. All of a sudden she's a big threat. I don't know where that came from.
But this is the same Hannah who just fully bought hook, line, and sinker that Annabelle was the biggest liar and clearly the biggest traitor.
I'm like, are the traitors watching the same season? Do they know something we don't? Where did Hannah come? Where did Hannah come from? All of a sudden she woke up
and they took her out.
I guess so. I mean, it makes sense. And then Gloria woke up, but I'm like, there's only three faithful. And I want to say I don't know if we want to start at the beginning of all this or whatever, because one of the biggest storylines that connected episode seven and eight was this, the traitors can murder themselves. This was brought up in episode, yes. Right. And that was my reaction. I was just laughing. So there's this light bulb moment. I came out of left field where Hannah's like, the traitors can actually murder themselves if they have a shield. And they're like, oh, and all five faithful are sitting there in the final eight with the three other traitors not there. And they're like, oh my gosh. And this becomes like the prevailing argument against Sam and against Blake. And it carries into episode 8. And that's, again, the prevailing conversation is around this strategy that they could actually murder themselves, thus meaning the story that Sam has this shield. He got shot at and he's alive. Oh my gosh. What in the world? And I just am baffled. It just shows me first of all, think that that's true. I don't think they can murder each other. And I just don't know if that's a reality. I've never heard of that being a thing in any other season. And I'm just like, you guys are clearly showing me how little you know about this game, because you're not talking about recruitment at all. Like, so, there was a throwaway line.
Yes.
That's it. That's all we got. That was no time was spent toward the strategy of recruitment. What if there's a third? They did get out one earlier. There's probably three total. It's been a long time. Like, they love the recruitment thing on the show, but you wouldn't know that because you haven't seen the show. So I don't know. Guess the traitors are shooting themselves all of a sudden. They're doing the dirty work for them.
So this is, I think, the biggest error or blunder, rather, potentially for Sam's game if Sam does not win the season and Camille does. Because by claiming that, hey, they took a shot at me, I'm clearly good now, that worked, but that very much hid the fact that there's a third traitor in the building now. Or at least that's what it's being, story-wise, is being shown to us. When we inevitably tuck into some deeper dives postseason, we can figure out if that is what exactly goes on in the background and if they knew there were three or not or whatever. But from where I'm standing, it looks like they have no reason to believe anything, but there were two there are two potential traders and that now we think Sam's one of them. No clue on whether or not Camille is, probably not. Although Liam did throw out that he thinks it's Camille and Sam. So right. Maybe Camille gets shot sideways. Maybe that's possible.
You know, there's this sneaky little editing thing that they did in episode 8. And I don't know if it's actually foreshadowing or if they're just being funny, but there's a conversation between Sarah and Camille. And Sarah says, I would hate to be the final faithful with a traitor. And the camera immediately goes to Camille, like right as she finishes the sentence. And I just thought, if this is it, if Sarah's the final faithful, which I wouldn't be shocked. And I'm looking at this from Camille. Like, I spent a lot of time after these episodes trying to map out how do these people win the game. And obviously for Liam and Sarah, it's straightforward. It's also the least likely. So I just went like, well, they get the other three out, not happening. Okay, so from Camille's perspective, I do think the strategy would be get out Liam first. Therefore, you're guaranteeing there's a 0% chance that a faithful can win, because with the two, technically, they could still win. I mean, honestly, with these two, you're probably fine either way. But if you want to be 100% guaranteed that you, the trader, could win, get out one of the two. And I was thinking, if I'm Camille and if I'm Blake, you probably get out Liam, take Sarah, who seems to be so easily manipulated. Like the turning on Gloria in episode 8 was just tragic. I was like, she's got to be putting up a front here, right? There's no way after everything we saw.
It was a unanimous vote. Gloria voted Sam and everyone else voted Gloria. I was melting in my seat. I couldn't believe it.
It's the only unanimous vote of this season. And it was against Gloria of all people. What? Oh, and I thought Sarah, oh my, okay, at this point, yeah, there's no saving her. I mean, there wasn't much of a chance anyway.
Yeah, but essentially, for the faithfuls, yeah. Now, unless the traders get greedy, and we know they're going to, the faithfuls have no chance of winning this game. It's done
like
for them.
If you're Camille, you want to get out Liam, you then surrounded. And of course, that's going to look weird because he's going to be a faithful. But if they do force a final four vote, which they did last season, you look at the final four and you go, we could end it, but we could get more money, Blake. And we got Sarah. Look how easily flippable she is. The strategy is like, look, Blake or Sam and Liam have been this dummy duo, dumb and dumber, apparently on the surface, all season. They've been working in lockstep. They're the two traitors. I mean, I guess it would look bad if you got Liam out and then he's faithful, because that might poke a hole in your theory if you're from Sarah's perspective.
Yeah.
But you get one of the two out. I guess you could get Sam out at 5. That would be probably easier. Confirms he's a traitor. Then you get Sarah to vote out Liam. Whoopsie daisy. And then you either, I mean, I'm just like, if you're Sarah, you would not end the game knowing you didn't get out the two traitors. So it's a tricky little end game maze for these people. If you want to be greedy as a traitor and win on your own, or possibly with a final two, knowing if you're faithful, you're going to keep going to a vote. But I'm looking at it like either Camille wins with Sarah voting out Blake, or maybe they do work together, her and Blake, and vote out Sarah at the final three. I don't know. What do you think?
Okay, so this is my prediction. You cannot let Sam get past the final five. And I think you need to give the faithful a win here. You vote out Sam. Sam goes out, confirmed traitor. That's cool. Then I see a world where you can turn the tide onto Liam now at 4, because Liam has been Sam's closest buddy. And only at the very end here has suddenly changed his tune on him. That's suspect. We have had suspicions on Liam. We're going to vote out Liam. Liam should be the choice to go. And that way you have Blake and Camille work together to be like, hey, we're doing this together. Cool. And then at the final three, I think Blake gets voted out anyway. And then you're left with Camille and Sarah. I think that's how it goes.
If you're Blake, do you rock with those two and vote out Camille?
I mean, you because will try your Liam best, I think, like, at that point.
Liam's like, I think it's Sam and Camille. So you're like, Blake must be like, all right, like, I'll take that. That works for me at the final five. What do you say, final three?
It's
and if
possible.
You were to get Camille and Sam out back to back, Blake wins. I think they would keep Blake and he wins the money. They would assume that's they got possible. All them out. especially with this shield theory that you can traders can murder each other, murder themselves. I would assume they're probably thinking we got them both out. Blake wins the game because why would we rob Blake unless you're faithful and you want to be greedy? But I mean, obviously you should. I've always said this since the first season I watched, which was the UK. If you're a faithful and you're in the final three, you always go to a vote, even if you think you might be getting voted out there, because you don't know and you'll never know for sure with the way that this is the way the game plays out. If you've gotten them all out, you have to assume there's at least three, probably four, depending on the cast size. But I'm like, you don't end it. You don't do Quentin and Andy. You don't let that last person in the final three survive. If you feel 100% about one of them, you let that one person go and cut the other one, and you end it in a final two. And if you get it right, you get 50% of the money. So like, you can't win it all as a faithful, but you gotta go to the final two, go down to the very bitter end, to the pointy end, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Would you like a fun fact?
Yeah, I love fun facts.
Okay. Gloria voted out the most traitors this season.
Uh-oh.
She voted Ash in the Ash vote out. She then voted Blake in the Annabelle vote out. She then voted Blake during the Keith vote out, and then voted Sam in her own vote out.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. She was cooking. They just didn't let her cook enough.
They didn't let her cook enough. And I feel like she suffered from not really being involved in the early goings and then being the more vocal one at the end. But Sarah's opinion kind of blew with the wind on that one. And obviously they didn't have enough votes there to make it happen.
Sarah had this realization in episode 8 that I just was mind blown. I took a note and it was just in all caps, where Sarah is torn on Sam possibly being a traitor, because she comes to the astounding realization traitors can vote off traitors. And I went, you are just now considering that? Worthless. Get off. Get out of here. Like, come on. Oh my gosh. It's episode 8. And maybe she misspoke and meant you can murder, but she said vote off other traitors. And I just thought, yeah, like Sam and Ash, right? No, okay. And they kept going back to, what about Annabelle and Luke? They got brought up a bunch these last few episodes. Like, what about that? They were both faithful. Like, we didn't really go back to that. We didn't really think about that. We just kind of got rid of Simone. We got rid of Keith. But like, what if Annabelle and Luke actually were onto something and they got taken out because they were on something? And they're like, you know what? Let's just vote out Keith. Let's just vote out Gloria.
Let's just get him out. It's easier. Why not? I think the biggest clue that they could have had and should have thought of was the fact that up until episode 7, never has someone who has gone to the armory been targeted by the traitors. Not once. Why now, suddenly? Why now when Sam's at the armory? So they could have had Sam weeks ago, or, you know, not weeks ago, days ago. However, you know, I don't know what the timeline is. To me, that's the biggest indicator. Not that, oh, the traitors can kill each other and therefore they're lying about this, using the shield to stay alive. How about this is sketchy? That, like, yes, yeah, someone was in the armory is alive when we all know the armory is a free pass.
And that's also been the strategy of the traitors up to that point. If you go back and look at everyone who went into the armory, you notice there's a very obvious trend where whoever went to the armory
highlighted it from jump. She said, if we do not disclose, they won't get rid of any of us because it's too risky.
Right. She laid it out. She said, mm-hmm, this is the strat. And the traitors went with the strat because it's a good strat. And the faithfuls went, oh, okay. And then they're like, wait a minute. What if the girl who was proven to be a faithful was onto something? Huh. And then they changed the strategy all of a sudden. And now they're shooting at people in the armory. That's odd. And I don't even know if the faithfuls fully understood about how recruitment works. And that it was mentioned by Sarah, which is bizarre given Sarah's gameplay, twice that this could have happened, but no further discussion. It was instantly shot down by Liam. I don't understand. Like, why did they not talk about this theory? Where this could, what road could this, if there is another traitor out there, which is not inconceivable, it's actually most likely the outcome, instead of them happening to shoot Sam. Like, that is, again, this is where I draw, like, is Sam really that good? or are these people really just that bad? And I feel like in my case, in most cases, it's really these players are just that bad that common just logic is going out the window in favor of what if it's this random red herring that Sam says is the likely outcome. And then he's wrong again and again and again. And Sam's defense of it himself is just, well, I didn't really say it that way. You can't put it on me because I didn't say it like that, or you're twisting my words. It's just, I don't understand. I think it comes down to the faithfuls don't really know the game just at all.
So I
can't even think about recruitment because I don't even know what it is. They don't even know how it works. Yeah.
I would probably co-sign that because, you know, I'm looking at my notes right now as you're speaking and I'm, you know, getting refreshed because it's been a couple of days since I've watched the episode. Get refreshed on remembering what I saw. And I remember now very vividly, Hannah comes into this episode, the first episode, saying, I do not buy this talk about Sam. I think Sam is bad. I need people to know about it. And then I was like, oh yeah, she was really pounding the drum. Let me go see who she voted for. Liam. She voted for Liam in that same episode. How? Sam got zero votes that episode. Sam got one. Pridium. Sam got one out of a total of 8 + 6 = 14. One out of 14 votes were Sam.
And how much attention was dedicated to is this it for Sam? He got one vote. He got one vote. In 2 hours of, is Sam in trouble? Is this the end? He got one
vote. Most votes Sam has received in one roundtable came in the Annabelle boot where, it came in the Simone boot where he received three.
And two of those are from the traders who immediately decided to lay off the heat, which is another, I think, suspicious tell. And if you're looking at Blake as a potential cohort, you're sort of like, what's the consistency? Also, Blake is getting a little bit of heat too. He got heat from Keith in the Blake of it all. He kind of switches his strategy up where he suddenly is now pro Sam. He's kind of aboard the Sam train. He's wary, obviously. He doesn't fully trust the guy, but he's sort of looking at it like, do we want to have an all-out war, which would result in possibly us both losing, or do we have a ceasefire? And again, if you're a faithful, you want to look at like consistent gameplay and knowing the person's behavior, personality. This to me would stand out a lot. Same with Camille, by the way. Camille is another one who is a little bit disjointed and she says she wants to go for Sam, but then she kind of doesn't. And she went for Sam in the previous episode, but now she's not. So these are also clues if you're paying attention. I don't know exactly how obvious it was when you're in that room and you're in these rooms, but there's a lot of signs. This has like been a half hour of us just being like, what are these faithful thinking? Like how is it like this? It's shocking. And I do think these were probably my two least favorite of the pairing episodes for the last four podcasts we've done. Not as much to talk about. I'm a little bit baffled that Keith was voted out all of a sudden. I do think it was a good strategy from Sam. I did tip my cap there and say, if you're not going to go for Blake, you want to go for the next person who's like the Liam to Sam, go for the Keith of Blake. He got him out. He got Blake to flip, and Blake is somewhat in a corner. And I do feel like at the end of this all, that might have been one of the worst things for Blake was voting out his Liam of the game.
Yeah, he votes out his Liam now, not really having a parachute at the end game, which we have talked about it being very important for you as a trader to have someone who is absolutely on your side. Because if you do want to get greedy and dip in and try and get rid of one of your own, with less numbers, you're potentially able to do so. However, Liam is big pissed at the end of episode 8 with Gloria leaving. So much so that he's abandoned Sam completely. But also, this is Australian Traders season 2. I do not trust the edit. I do not trust that Liam is over Sam at all.
What happened to Blake and Sam gunning for each other at the end of episode, 6? And I thought, oh, this is juicy. Because I thought
the war was coming.
I thought this is exactly what you want to do. You prime up your next victim ahead of time. You get ahead of the game, ahead of the curve, and then you tear him down. And it didn't result in anything, which to me would be like very odd behavior. If I'm a faithful looking at these players who are also pinpointed by two guaranteed faithful in Annabelle and Luke. So, faithful are losing this game. We knew this for a long time.
Yeah. Again, this is why I'm willing to maybe open the dialogue on Sam being a lot better than just being a villain. Because he not only was he had his only other traitor allegiance vote him. He then was able to call him out publicly at the round table, then go to Traitor's Tower and say, are you really trying to snitch me out? I'm willing to cease fire. Doesn't matter how much Blake trusts him or not. Blake ceasefires completely and lets it go. Also agrees with him to recruit Camille, who I do not think Blake really wanted, but they get Camille on side. And then he gets Keith voted out, who is Blake's closest ally outside of the traitors. And Blake has not retaliated.
Yeah. Yeah. I got nothing to say. I agree. It is.
Again, I just want to say this has no business working. I still don't think any of the stuff Sam has done logistically should work, because he's been playing the game dialed at 11 from the second band, from the second round table. And it's worked. It's worked. He's made it all the way here right now. Still, again, not really knowing where Liam lies in all this. Potentially could still win this thing because he has three traitors. I think he needs, this is the tough part, because he needs Liam on side for anything to work at this point. Mm-hmm. And I think he needs to get rid of a traitor next. Absolutely needs to get rid of. I think if you're a traitor, you need a traitor gone this next episode, no matter what, because there's a buffer of a second traitor. I think you 100% need to go to the final four with two traitors. If you go as one traitor, I think you're cooked. I think it's going to be tough to win that unless people actively think you're the last possible person to be a traitor. Then you're fine.
I think it just depends on who's the last faithful left standing. You're the traitor,
might be fine.
So like if you're in the Camille spot and you're looking at like, okay, if Sarah's the final faithful, I'm in clearly the prime position to win this thing. So if we just start banishing people, it's going to be looking great for me. I can whisper sweet nothings into Sarah's ear. And then she's just in my pocket. And if we get to that final three, obviously we've only got one other traitor out. So Blake got to go. It's the same thing for if Blake had kept Keith around and Keith was so emotionally invested in Blake being a faithful, really liked the guy, wanted him, was not doing his best undercover, whatever detective, cop, whatever Keith ended up being at the end of this. Because, man, that was an interesting. He's like, I got this big surprise as he stands up. And I'm like, yeah, you're not a traitor, guys. You didn't get him that easily. Faithful. He's this big cop who is kind of done goofed for 7 episodes now on the traitors. Not the best look, but he needed to be there for Blake. Instead, Sarah's here. Liam needs to be there in the final four with Sam for Sam to even stand a chance. I don't know what that looks like in a 2-2. Sam would not want to go to a final three, I feel like, with both Blake and Camille. I feel like that is asking to be axed.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be such a tragic and almost a little too karmic, but such a bad move to go to that final three. And maybe that would be the best ending in a story sense where Blake gets his revenge by getting Sam into a position where he can't win. Cause I got to think, like, if you're Camille and you have that final three, you just cut Sam out for all of his BS. Just let
him.
He's
the easy one to push out. He's so easy to push out. Like he's survived so many.
Did they even go to a vote if it's three traitors?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Like, does the game just auto end?
I think it auto ends at three traitors. I think it does. I think at that point they all know, because at that point it just becomes all right, how many of you want to win this money? And I feel like that is not how they go about it. I mean,
there's no suspense other than like, will they backstab each other for more money?
But also historically speaking, that's like
Survivor. Isn't that just Survivor at that point?
Yeah, which is not, it's not traitors.
That's like a completely different show, but hey, I'll watch it. I've watched it a lot. So I'll take a final three vote.
Here's the thing. Historically looking at the seasons without spoiling anything, I believe, is this the first time we're going into the finale with more traitors than faithfuls? I think we are.
I think so.
Maybe I think so. One? I'm looking at season one right now, and in season one, we go to the final five with two traitors.
Yeah, okay. And I know like US had two or so, UK was two, I think. They were all outnumbered, so it's like, that's how it is. I mean, that's like the best case scenario where you're down to the wire and either you've got one traitor who's really good and just finesses everyone, or you've got two and they have to decide this prisoner's dilemma of like, how do I win and do I sacrifice my partner to get all the money, or do I go to the end with them and split the prize but increase our odds of winning because it's much easier. Like the for all intents and purposes, the traitors have won the money. It's just a matter of how much money do they get. That's the ultimate question, which is a little less interesting than who wins. We know who wins. It's not Liam. It's not Sarah. So it's just like navigating that path of what do you want to do at the end? The traitors have earned it. And a part of me feels like Camille hasn't fully earned it. I always feel this way about a traitor that gets brought in halfway through the season.
Well,
I kind of like to see the OGs because they've had to work the hardest from the very beginning. And you can't say Sam hasn't put in the work, and Blake to an extent. Blake has honestly had to do in some ways more because he had to deal with Sam of all people.
He's had to survive the wrath of Sam.
He had to enter battle, fight a battle with Sam in Traitor's Tower more than once, then call a ceasefire, trust this dude. There's a lot. Like Blake has gone all the way around.
No one has fought Sam and survived except for Blake. Blake put his name out there, voted him, and is still here playing the game when Sam's MO has very much been, you say my name, you're cooked, you're done. So that in and of itself is an achievement. Now, allow me to push you back for a little bit, Peridium, because I think Camille has earned where she is, because I do agree she hasn't earned her traitor stripes, so to speak, I think playing a good enough faithful game where you're not targeted, you're not murdered, and then you are recruited is in and of itself a skill.
Yeah, no, there's it's definitely some rope. Skill. It's definitely a tightrope. I also think entering Traitor's Tower without that pre-established connection that they have had is a very interesting predicament. You're not sure if you can be if they can be trusted. You have to sort of, and this is obviously in Camille's season, it's a little different here because they have like clear disdain for each other. They've been battling each other for a while, and like seeing Sam take out Ash is it sort of just tells you like what that's the stage that's been set. It's been the two of them for a long time, and you just have to imagine this is like a very precarious Traitor's Tower that she's entering. Other times you see people enter Traitor's Tower from being a faithful, and there's a camaraderie, and that allows you a little bit of time to breathe and get in. I feel like she's kind of entering. She went from playing for the junior team to the senior team, and the senior team, now she's just against the juniors, and it's like there's been no competition. And I guess the biggest thing she's had to endure is the civil war between the traitors. But it's almost so easy that the civil war is irrelevant because it hasn't mattered at the end of the day. They haven't voted each other out. They haven't gone for each other at the moment. They've kind of wanted to. There's been a bit of talk in these last two episodes about he wants to get Blake out. He did have that in mind. Didn't end up panning out because of the heat that he was catching, which is great for Camille. But I'm also like, it's a little bit of Camille sort of benefited from just the circumstances. I don't know. I feel like it's a little less rewarding in a way. And I also maybe just don't feel like they've sold Camille as well as they've sold previous traitors who were inducted, who were recruited. Maybe that's just a me thing, though. I don't know. She's okay. She's not the worst. She's the best faithful after Luke and Annabelle. So I guess I'll give her that. The bar is incredibly low, though, when I say that.
Oh, there's a huge drop off. Let's it's not
like
get it.
Annabelle,
twisted.
Luke, and then like the bar is so low that I'm like, I say that, and I do mean it. It's not a bad thing, but I don't know. This is why I said last week. I feel like if this isn't Sam's game to win, like then I don't know. I just don't feel like it's. He's played this game the hardest, and maybe Blake is the runner up in that regard. And Camille is there, but I do feel like she was kind of given a little bit of the cheat code. She was given it halfway through. And if it wasn't for that, she wouldn't be there, obviously. And I don't know. It's not the worst ending, though. And I can see why people would like Camille winning. She seems okay. She seems fine. Not a problem. Just I do live for like big TV, and I do like that kind of gameplay, and Camille's kind of gotten the best of both worlds served up to her, where she was on the bad sinking Titanic and then she got on the life raft, the only one left. And now she gets to coast.
I mean, I think that's the like that is the best of both worlds. Like if I was to play Traitors, that's kind of where I want to be, is start as a faithful, be good enough until I get recruited as a traitor. That's really the best of both.
You get to play both roles. That's tough to do. Like you can't really do much to.
Exactly, which is why it's commendable for Iridium.
I don't know though, because it's like, what did she do to exactly to get recruited? Like not obviously die, which is good.
Not die and then call out Sam at the right moment.
Yeah, at the right moment. Right.
Because I think Sam realized that if I kill her, if we murder her, they'll know it's me because she threw my name out. If we leave her alone, she's going to be the most vocal and rally people to get rid of me. She has to get recruited to join me. That's what has to happen.
I do kind of feel like
Annabelle would have been on the fast track to get recruited had she survived long enough and they had an opportunity, if she had never thrown out Sam's name, because Sam really was like trusting her. Right. So I think she could have had that spot. But at the same time, you do enough shenanigans. I'm not risking getting to the end with your menace ass if you're being menacing. So
I do kind of wonder if it's more commendable to start from where you start with the strategy and prevail as that, if you win the season, either as a faithful or as a traitor from the very beginning, versus you can't control the recruitment part of it if you're a faithful. So if you do, you're given the keys to the city. You're given, I mean, that is, they're rolling out the red carpet for your victory. And mm-hmm. it's shown it does happen. Like traitors can win this way. It's probably the best path. But I also feel like it's a little luck based in a way, because you can't ultimately decide that. So if I'm looking at big picture, I almost would rather it be more of the winner is decided purely on the skill of it. Like if Sam wins, he did it because he managed to finesse from day one, versus like being given the golden, the skeleton key to the city, or had the carpet rolled out for them halfway through, just on like a big picture, like season by season basis. Cause I mean, we've seen this happen before where somebody gets brought in halfway through and then ends up winning the game. And it was, I did enjoy those moments when they've happened, but.
Oh, and there's definitely been people who have been recruited that I've said, if they win, that's BS and I'm going to be very irritated. So
yeah.
Like I don't want to make it seem
it
like
happened the US and the UK for me. I was like, I do not want this person to win. I don't think they deserve it.
But in Australia, I was like, nah, hats off. You're doing it right. So it really depends on the brand and the way. But for me, it's fascinating. And I feel like Camille finds herself in such a good spot, potentially for nothing she has done as a traitor, but for everything Sam has done as a traitor. Because again, using the shield mechanic to pretend that you are a faithful is good until people suspect you on it, and you've actively blocked anyone thinking about a recruitment, which only helps Camille and sewers your game more.
Yep. Yeah.
So then let's talk about your favorite part of this show.
I was waiting for that. What's my favorite part?
You know what it is, for it's challenge time, Peridium.
Okay,
so I had to look at this to remember. We had two challenges in the first episode. One was an armory challenge. The other was a regular challenge, obviously. And the first one, we can kind of yada yada. It was, they had to find these barrels and then break the barrels open. No, yeah, right? With the hammers?
Dude, I don't know. No shield, what's the point? Skip.
Wow.
I went back and rewound. They had to, so these people were trapped and they had a map on the inside. They had to guide the people on the outside to find keys that would help unlock them from the cell they were in. And they would earn money.
Yeah, they would
based on their success.
Mm-hmm. And then, they had to use hammers to break open the barrels. Low key, for a second, I thought that was New Zealand, and I was trying to figure out if I'd messed up on my ones. But
did they do that in New Zealand? I haven't watched.
They
it
did not. They did not. So that was the first one. Then they had. Here's the thing. So then they had the armory challenge, which we love these. We've talked about it. But can we be honest? This was essentially the same armory challenge as earlier in the season.
As the bows, shooting
instead of bow and arrow, it was axe throwing. So it was the same challenge.
I appreciated it the first time because it was a little different. They hadn't done something like that. But then this was another like, oh, cool. So they've taken that challenge. I like the idea of it being like, you got to pick and choose who you're targeting and why you're targeting. And then you also have to be somewhat skilled. You can't just pick somebody. You got to actually perform. So like the person who's better at the challenge, which is a skill in of itself, it's a little less relevant in the scheme of the traders game, but it's there. But yeah, it was honestly like from a TV perspective, I was like, oh man, this is also kind of boring. Like they're just throwing axes and missing. That's it.
And then Keith wins and gets banished that night. So it doesn't even matter.
Right. And then I thought, oh, Keith won. And then I went, wait, no, I thought, oh, there we go. Because in the other seasons, they've had it where you can't get murdered. You can't get banished if you win the shield. I'm pretty sure, right? That happened, I think, in last Australia, was it? Like, if you won the shield, you can't get banned. I remember that coming up.
What? No.
Yeah, I think they changed it. I could be wrong, but...
No. Shields,
I remember there was somebody who was targeted for the vote, and then it was a guy.
Oh, yes. Lewis? They got an immunity from getting voted out, and it was like, oh, if they didn't win this, they were out.
Wasn't that Lewis, I think, from season one? And it was like,
and I'm pretty sure, wasn't it Kate? Kate also got safety through the shield. Wait. So was that, hold on, was that a different thing, or were they the shield?
The shield? I mean, if I quickly glance,
let's see.
I don't know. This is doing our homework in the middle of the podcast.
I mean, sometimes you got to do this because there's so many different, they're not universal rules. Every show has its own like weird rules that
I had heard for Australia season two that they were going to change some of the stuff up. And I think the shield was one of those things. And I was like, okay. I had heard that they weren't going to do it every episode, which I thought like, that's a little bit trickier. I'm not sure how you're going to do that. Like why do you decide it at certain episodes? It says here, the Australian version was considerably more powerful. It protected the holder for both the banishment and the murder.
Okay. So yes, that is very true. Cause I remember those
which
moments.
It's kind of cool. It's an immunity challenge, but it also protects you. So it's like, actually, there's even more going on there. Keith could have really used it this episode. And then so when he won it, I had this brief moment. I was like, dang, they got us. They pulled the old switcheroo that Survivor loves to do, which is the guy who's getting all the heat goes on to win the immunity challenge. And now where does that leave us? And I was like, oh, wait. Oh, no. Oh, okay. He's going. He's still going. Okay. Okay. Like, would this have been better as an immunity and a protection from murder?
Absolutely not.
You don't think so?
I think that... You gotta let the faithfuls shoot themselves in the foot if they.
Well, they still would have. They just would have. They would have probably gotten glory out.
Yeah, because I like the idea that as a traitor, you are. Let's say, for example, you really want Liam out, and you're like, "All right, we gotta get Liam out." And then Liam wins the shield and can't get murdered. You're like, "Damn! Well, if I really want Liam out, now I gotta do it publicly at the roundtable." I like that adage where. Now they might have to push the agenda in public if they really are trying to flush someone out of the game and they can't just wait until they're not with the shield next week.
Right.
Like I like that urgency. On the other side, I also like the idea of the faithfuls being dumb enough to get rid of one of their own who also did have a shield. So I'm also not mad at that, honestly.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with either, I guess. I guess it's okay. I mean, I think it wouldn't have changed. Like, Keith would probably have been voted out in Inglorious spot and vice versa. So, like, they probably would have gotten Glory out somehow, and then Keith goes next episode or, you know, so it doesn't really change much.
Honestly, yeah, that's the funny thing to me is that Keith is someone I expected to pencil into the finale who ends up going home with the shield when he probably shouldn't have, but hey, it happened.
I penciled Hannah into my finale, and I was like, oh, I guess she's a big threat now. I guess I missed the memo, but I don't know.
Again, I'm a faithful. If Hannah was on, like, seemingly in Sam's pocket, I think she would be at the end.
Right, all right.
But I don't think that helped.
She had the Eureka moment.
Yeah.
You can't have the Eureka moment. You just gotta ride the game to the end and lose. That's how you do it.
What was the challenge in episode 8?
So this was a blindfold antique challenge where one person was blindfolded and the other person wasn't, and they had to try to navigate them through an antique shop and the more they knocked stuff over, it would cost them. But there was no shield. It was just for money, sort of like the other one in the previous episode with the barrels. So again, I wasn't super captivated. I wish there was a shield, like the person who broke the least or something, but I don't know. It is what it is.
Tis what it is, yeah. That also happened. They made 16K there, so that's very nice. Yay. And then ultimately, again, they had agreements to vote out Sam, and then Sam did not go home, and Gloria instead goes home, also calls them dum-dums on the way out, which I think Gloria has earned the right to. She has voted out the most amount of traitors at the round table. So yeah, she gets that one.
I mean, it was kind of a losing battle. She was in a 3-3 vote and she was putting heat on, like, do you go with that? If you're Sam or if you're Blake and Camille, do you vote out Sam there? I don't know. Like, that's a very risky. Now you're really putting it down to the wire. It's probably not worth it. Like, they have a sure shot to win. So while Gloria could be an avenue to take Sarah with you and you get out, I just don't think it's worth it. So I'm like, Gloria, unfortunately, you're just like Hannah, just like Simone, just like all of these players. You're having that moment way too late. You should have done it last episode. You should have done it the episode before. She didn't go. I mean, I guess they voted for Liam, Hannah and whoever. Keith voted for Liam. But I mean, this is just the tragedy of these terrible players. Like, they're just, Gloria is, she can call them dum-dums, but I'm also like, girl, you didn't do anything either. Like, you voted them out, but you can't just vote one vote. You got to do more than that.
She did. She voted out multiple times.
One vote multiple times isn't good enough. Unless you want to combine all of her votes into one. That's like, cool. You got it right. I guess we'll give you the participation trophy or whatever. Like, most votes on a traitor, you get that award. You win that badge.
I will be keeping an eye on you when we play Goose Goose and you're like, I knew all along that it was this person and I voted them in the third round.
I hate when people say that, by the way.
Oh, name names.
People are like, I knew it. And I'm like, no, you didn't. And it doesn't even matter because it's over.
Yeah.
Even if you did know it, like, then it doesn't matter for anything. It just, and everyone says it on every show. All the time. It's such a pet peeve of mine because my wife pointed out to me as we're rewatching all Big Brother seasons, like, the twist happened. I knew it. And it's like, how many people have said it with like BB25's big twist? It's like, you did not know it. Come on. Unless you're Izzy, you did not know anything.
So, I knew it.
I'm going to do that
every game on Sunday and see if you pick up on it.
Okay. You'll be like, I knew it. I'm like, Puya, you won. You were the duck. Like, I knew it. I knew it was me.
Okay. So I honestly feel like at this point we have arrived at the end of the podcast because we've already talked about our predictions of how the end game can go. I think we both agree that it's a traitor's win pending. It's just a matter of which combination or which singular person is going to win. And there are no murders happening overnight. So we're going to go into the next episode with five. We're going to have one last challenge for assuming the rest of the prize pot. And then we're probably going to have a banishment and then the finale roundtable, AKA the are we voting or not voting people out.
So what's your, at the end of this, what's your final prediction for who wins?
See, I feel like because I've thought Sam is going at every point, I think it would be funny if I say Sam wins and then he doesn't win and then I was just wrong on him the whole way through. So it's probably that. But if I'm trying to be extra book and like go through the analytics and really flesh it out, I would probably say Camille, but I'll say Sam for the funds.
Okay, so you've got both your hands in both.
I was the official one, Sam. So if Sam loses, you can be like, haha, you were wrong. But then I can say, I knew it, Peridium.
I was going to say, what's your Camille I knew it?
Gonna win.
So you're going to get it wrong. What was your I knew it? I knew I was going to be wrong moment. It was Camille winning.
Yes.
So I guess I can flip it. I've been thinking Sam's going to do well. And I'll just say, I think Camille is going to win. I'm more wondering, does she win with or without Blake? But I think I kind of hope Sam wins. But that's where I'm at.
I would like Blake to also get some money for the hazardous work environment that he's had to deal with Sam for the whole game. Get him some money. Get him some coin.
Yeah, give him some money for a therapist. He's going to need it after dealing with this narcissist for 9 episodes. Yeah.
And no money for Sarah or Liam. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed your breakfast, Liam. But yeah, that's as much as you get for this game.
And I know that I probably won't be available for the finale podcast, unfortunately. So, you know, I'll get to listen to you talk. I know you're going to have a special guest on. I don't know if you want to reveal who that is or not, but
it is Liana.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have a flashy title, but the amazing one, the number one detective in my heart.
The first lady of the Traitors.
Yes, of the Traitors Empire. I don't have good titles. It's my mind is a little mush right now, Peridium. But yeah, Liana will be coming in. Big shoes, big Peridium shoes to fill, but I think she'll do it justice. Hopefully she loves the Traitors as well. So, and I know you two have talked about Traitors Australia extensively she was first watching them. So
yeah, I called her up. I was like, I have to talk to somebody about this. And so we basically recorded a podcast without recording a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember she was like, y'all did a phone call and she was like, I just talked with Prim for about an hour. I was like, about what? She's like, Traitors. I was like, yeah, I haven't watched it yet. So she will be joining me in your stead, Peridium. Right. She hasn't watched a single episode yet.
So she's going to binge it. Oh, that's fun. I mean, okay.
Yeah. Cool. So I'm very keen to see what her thoughts
are
on
spoilers
everything.
Spoilers or anything? Does she know anything?
She knows nada. She has idea. Yeah.
Okay, I'll be interested to hear her takes.
Yeah. So it'll be fun to see with the one episode two. I'm sure she'll have takes coming in from the early days, and then we'll be able to put a nice little bow on it. And then who knows, Purdy, maybe you and I will find our way into the postseason with something, Traitors.
Sure. AU. I'm down.
Yeah. So let the people know, Purdy, where can they find you?
We'll get an interview with the winner, Liam.
Yep. Definitely. After I just called him a dummy and said, enjoy breakfast. That will be awkward. Man. Liam, if you're listening, I have no beef, my man. I have no beef.
Or Sarah.
I have no beef for the interview. But
biggest blindside in the history of reality of the faithfuls winning at the end of this season.
Yeah.
If that happens here.
Traitors AU, the season two has made me have egg on my face the entire season. And I'm usually not too bad at my reads on podcasts I do with Masked Singer. I'm a sniper. I am very goated with Big Brother. I have good analysis. Traitors New Zealand, I've had some good reads. But AU has kept me on my feet and kept me guessing, which honestly is a blessing. And I'm very grateful for it because I like not knowing things just as much as I do like knowing things.
Oh, I love a good old-fashioned blindside.
Oh, yeah, and we got one on Big Brother today. So
The number of times I think of Debbie Wanner saying total blindside is too much to count.
Yeah.
But anyway, people can find me on YouTube. I post weekly videos of Big Brother, Survivor. We're about to start Survivor season, so I'll be posting both at the same time, which should be a lot to deal with. I don't think it's ever happened before, actually, but we're going to have a lot of Big Brother, a lot of Survivor going on every week. Wednesday's Survivor, Thursday's Big Brother. And if you want to hear my thoughts on any of the current seasons going on with those shows, you can also find me on Twitter or X, I guess, whatever you want to call it, under my real name, which is Billy Geis. So, or just search Peridium, you'll find me. But that's where I'm at.
There we go. And Peridium, I got to say, it's been a fun season with you, man. I hope you had fun on this whole season podcast endeavor that I brought you on. It's been a delight. It's been great to get to talk to you and break things down with you. It's been great to hear you rant about your producer thoughts. So I'm going to miss those on a weekly in my ear, but I'm sure our paths will cross once again.
It was fun. I thank you for having me. When you reached, I was like, oh yes, we got to do this. I was excited. And you know what? If it came about again, I would do it all over again. So,
hey, there we go. That's what we like to hear. Well, thank you, Peridium. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. That is where I am when I'm not podcasting. So definitely come through and say hi. I would appreciate it. And also, thank you to everybody who has left a rating on the Traitors Wrap Up. I asked to break the 10 barrier. We have smashed it. We have 12 in the US. I believe we have, I think, 2 or 3 in Australia and a couple in Canada. We're cooking. This is a brand new feed that was formed basically at the start of this Australia and New Zealand cycle of Traitors. I do appreciate y'all coming through. And obviously, Canada is soon to come as well. Traitors Canada is on its way. We should get it in the next month or so. So definitely keep your eyes on this feed. And again, if you would like to leave a rating and review, I will still take them and would very much appreciate them to allow people to find this little podcast we've got going on. You can do so over on robiswebsite.com/traders. That's TRAITORS. And yeah, let us know your thoughts over there. Would appreciate it. If you would like to check out my other podcast, I've got 90 Day Fiance, 2 episodes a week going on right now. And the aforementioned Big Brother. Live feed updates Friday mornings is where you can find me talking about all of those. This is about to be a whirlwind of a week on there, so we're all bracing for impact. It should be fun, and you'll probably find me on a recap and next week as well. But for now, we do appreciate you joining us here in Traders Towers. We hope you had fun, and we will catch you next week to find out who won and, more importantly, who lost. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.